Hey, what are you listening to? You're listening to WVQCLP Cincinnati, Radio Free Queen City. Low power to the people.
Hey, Hemp Rockers, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC.org. WVQC, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views of WVQC, Media Bridges, its staff, or its board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock Radio or our guests. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio.
I smoke two joints in the morning. I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon. This makes me feel alright. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints, and then I smoke two more. Hard work good and hard work fine, but first take care of health. So now I smoke two joints when I get up. In the car I smoke two joints. I smoke two joints when I play video game, and at every 10,000 points I smoke two joints. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints.
It's the Monday edition, and welcome to Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and the Burn Man, here on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC-LP, the voice of the Queen City on WVQC.org, and coming soon to 95.7 FM. Find us online at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 684-HEMP.
Hard work good and hard work fine, first take care of health. That's why I smoke two joints in the morning. I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon. It makes me feel alright.
Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including music, news, talk, and lots of fun here on the all-new WVQC Cincinnati.
That's what I do.
Thank you. I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We're old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
Yes, we can legalize marijuana. Contact the local chapter of Normal at mbnormal.org or call 888-385-2843.
Hey, this is Senior Bull, MC for Hemp Rock's Marijuana Marches and Reefer Rumbles, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, coming soon to the airwaves of 95.7 FM in Cincinnati.
It is Hemp Rock Radio, and I am the Happy Hemptress. He's the burn man over there rolling the pot and trying to hit those buttons, and we're going to try to figure out how to get that thing to do it right. We got a faulty CD player in here that doesn't want to do what it's supposed to do or what it's told. Anyway, if you just tuned in, again, it's Hemp Rock Radio, the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and of course, it's the Monday edition with the Pottsberry Bakery with the Dope Boy, Pot and Hash. And stay tuned. We'll have his really groovy, juicy foods later on in the show. I do want to tell you folks now, I know it's a commercial song, but if you know me and you know Hemp Rock, we love Pink Floyd. And as I reported last week, Pink Floyd sued their record company, EMI. And now Pink Floyd wins that EMI battle. Rockers Pink Floyd have triumphed in their battle against EMA. Record label bosses have been ordered to pay the group $60,000 or 40 pounds as part of a dispute over online royalty payments. The Wall hitmakers took their case to London's High Court on Tuesday. That's last week on the 9th of March, with lawyers for the band arguing the company should not be allowed to dismantle the group's albums and sell individual tracks online. The band's attorney, Robert Howe, claimed a contractual clause between the parties expressed prohibited such unbundling, insisting the band wants to retain artistic control over its work. The judgment also bans EMI from selling the band's tracks individually online without the Rockers' permission. Now, that's why we played the Have a Cigar song off of Wish You Were Here, because that's what that song's about, is the record label. And that's the manager going, and which one's Pink? So, you know, screw EMI. Yay, Pink Floyd, for standing their ground and believing in artists' rights. And so moving on to quick things here in the news before we go on to our guest recorded interview today. The guest recorded interview today is with Todd Roy, our first local Students for Sensible Drug Policy student, who is at State right now, ever since I stayed, and soon to be at UC, and joining that UC chapter that they have over there. We'll talk more about that, and you'll hear about that in the interview coming up in just a few minutes with Todd. And he was out in California, in San Francisco. And yes, that's my phone going off. I bet that's the hemp line calling in. We'll put that back on silent in a minute. Anyway, there is big news coming out of Washington. I want to get this out real quick. Two wounded during an attempted robbery at Medical Pot Grow. That is straight off the presses today out of Seattle, folks. Kirkland, actually. King County Sheriff's deputies say two people were shot and injured during a home invasion near Kirkland, and the robber may have been after medical marijuana. Sheriff's spokesman Sergeant John Urquhart said the home is known to authorities as a medical marijuana grow site. We're assuming that's probably the motive behind this robbery, he said. The homeowner was armed with a handgun, yay Second Amendment, and exchanged fire with a man who broke in shortly before 5 a.m. Monday. Shot this morning is well-known medical marijuana activist Steve Sarich. Both men were wounded in the shooting, officials said. Now, I want to stop, and I'll finish here in a minute. Burnman can't go on the microphone at the moment because we still don't have three mics in here, so I'm going to speak for him. A couple of years ago, Steve Sarich, who was with the West Coast side of the country, out of Washington, was part of the medical marijuana organizations that pushed that through in that state, and then came to Ohio and Cincinnati, along with some other cities, to bring his information on how they did it there to help Ohio activists here with Ohio Patient Network and other organizations. And he came to the Hemp Rock headquarters. We did a Hemp Rock TV interview. And I believe that now, since he's in the news and wounded, not only will we get him on the show, Chuck, but we need to get that video back out and not only put it on Hemp Rock TV. We'll talk about that in a minute. But also on Public Access Hemp Rock TV here in Cincinnati and Kentucky. So we'll get that out and we'll get that audio and get some new interview from him and see how he's doing. Anyway, the homeowner, Steve, was expected to recover, but Urquhart said the would-be robber suffered a life-threatening wound and was being treated at Harborview Medical Center in Seattle. He said the investigators are trying to sort out exactly what happened, including whether anyone else was involved. Investigators have cordoned off the area around the home, and that is on the northeast side. A SWAT team is preparing to enter the house to make sure there's no one else in. At least this is when this went to press, and as it was not immediately clear if more than one man was involved in the robbery attempt. And I bet that's the Hemp Rock TV line that's now being called. What do you think, Burn Man? Now you're getting a call. That's right, folks, 513-684-HEMP. And there you can get information. I swear to God it's going to be changed. I need volunteers, folks. It's going to be changed soon. Anyway, that is the top of the news at the moment. Also coming out of Hawaii, the feds raid the Hilo Cannabis, or maybe Hilo Cannabis Ministries. This was out of last Thursday. Hilo. Federal agents raided the downtown Hilo sanctuary of the Hawaii Cannabis Ministry Wednesday morning, assisted by local police. That is the THC Ministries, started by Roger Christie. Assistant U.S. Attorney Tom Mulek said that no one had yet been arrested or charged in connection with the raid. He declined to provide other details and would not say whether the THC Ministries director and founder, Roger Christie, had been detained. So he's not arrested at this point. He's the director of the Peaceful Sky Alliance, a medical advocacy group that wrote a ballot initiative passed into law by 53% of Big Island voters in November, making adult personal use of marijuana on private property the lowest law enforcement priority. Great. And, of course, runs the THC Ministries.
Well, that's great. That means nobody was killed in Hawaii that day.
That's exactly right. Now, I have to say, I don't want to digress on this too much because I want to talk more about this when I talk to Steve, but I have to get this point out about the shooting, two points, the shooting of with Steve today. First of all, again, yay Second Amendment. If it was not for the Second Amendment and Steve's right to bear arms, maybe he'd be dead right now instead of the other guy being wounded as well. And, you know, he asked for it, that guy. He comes in Steve's home with a gun. Great that Steve's got the gun. And kudos to Steve, and I hope he pulls through. The other issue is that because we don't have legal marijuana for everybody, now I'm not going to say that's the fix-all, but that certainly is creating a situation where they're going after the growers. This happened in California, the mountains, a few years ago, to another gentleman who got killed. Les Crane was killed and robbed and at the same time, and also a medical cannabis dispensary owner out of Ukiah, California. Now, that doesn't mean that totally legalizing and taxing is going to stop that because, you know, liquor stores are robbed every day. Drug stores are robbed every day. Okay, so even legal drugs doesn't prevent that, but it certainly can slow it up a little bit, because if you drop the price because of legalizing, because that's what's going to happen, it's not worth quite as much, unless they just want your money you're making from it. So again, you know, Kroger's can be robbed, so should we outlaw food? No. Okay, now, I want to move to a couple of other things real quick, and then we're going to go to that interview with Todd. We'll talk more about this tomorrow as well. Walmart in Battle Creek, Michigan is now drug-free. And yesterday, 111 Michigan marijuana reform activists formed a picket line today on public property at the Beckley Road interchange across from the Battle Creek. Now, I say this in jest. Get the name, folks. Battle Creek. Now, what's happened? I'm not going to read the rest. I'll save this tomorrow because we're going to have Tim back on from Detroit, the Michigan area. He was the guy that led the fight for medical marijuana and helped get that on the state ballot there. And he's going to tell the story of what's going on. There was a guy, Joe Cassius, who not only was the 2008 Associate of the Year, but he was a Walmart employee for 5 years. And then when there was an accident at work that he had, hurt his leg or something, they drug tested him, which is standard procedure for workman's comp, and they fired him. The guy apologized to him when he did it. So there's this big, big thing coming out now because there's probably going to be a boycott of Walmart, folks. People are already pushing for it because they say that they have a right to fire him, even though he has a right to use medical marijuana as a patient in Michigan. So, again, there's a battle going on in Battle Creek, Michigan. Also, very quickly, and I'll talk more about it after the break with the interview with Todd, I want to talk about the change.org and what happened since we last talked to you here on Hemp Rock Radio. Remember, last count, what we were top, right?
I believe.
We were the top last week. So we'll tell you where it ended up. Come back, though. Of course, you're listening to WVQC.org, soon to be 95.7 FM here in Cincinnati. And we want you as a member, $30 as a member or more. And if you do more, you might get gifts from us. We won't tell you what they are. Anyway, I'm the Happy Hemptress. He's Chuck the Burn Man and the Pot and Hash Dope Boy with the Pottsbury Bakery segments coming up here in just a little bit. And I think we have number five queued, and we're going to make sure that button works, I hope. And this is out at the last day of the Students for Sensible Drug Policy Conference that we told you about the last few weeks. And Todd Roy, one of our SSD peers here in the Cincinnati area, along with Vinny. And I don't know Vinny's last name. I forget. I apologize. But Vinny was also with him. Now, there was four folks from here. We'll talk about, you'll hear about it, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But Vinny was also involved in this interview for a few minutes. He is the founder of the Miami University Hamilton campus here in Hamilton, Ohio. Started that chapter, and you'll hear him talking about that. So cue that up, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Hemp Rock Radio.
Alrighty, this is the Happy Hemptress, and you are listening to Hemp Rock Radio, and this is a recording that we're doing here at the Hemp Rock headquarters Sunday evening, and my guest for today's show, which is right now, Sunday evening, of course, is Todd Roy. He is not only a good friend of mine, he is the first ever person in the local tri-state area here in Cincinnati area to ever be a student for sensible drug policy. And now with you, there are a whole bunch of kids that have joined you. So first of all, I want to say who's on the phone. It's Todd Roy, and right now he is in California at what is Students for Sensible Drug Policy Conference, because this is something that you can go to, learn about, and become more active and better at what you do. And, of course, have fun. So first of all, Todd, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Thanks for asking.
Wonderful. And, again, you are at, we think it's the 11th annual. We'll check on that, the 11th annual Students for Sensible Drug Policy Conference. And what city are you in California?
We're in San Francisco.
You are in San Francisco. That's what I thought. And, you know, I think there's some other folks out there from the local chapter. Who went out, besides Todd, his roomie is Vinny. Vinny is at the Miami campus, Hamilton campus, Miami University, Hamilton campus, has a chapter that started up there. And you are actually, you're at Cincinnati State, Todd?
Yeah, I'm at Cincinnati State finishing up my last term, and I'll be transferring to UC in the fall.
Then you will be joining what is the UC chapter here in Cincinnati. And or officially you are a part of it, I guess, because you can't really do a chapter at State. Is that what the problem was?
Well, I could have, but with me not being able to be there on a full-time basis, it made it difficult for because I didn't have anyone else that was interested in taking the leadership role necessary.
I see. Well, so you're actually working with the UC chapter. Now, for the folks that are listening, first of all, let's tell, in your words, explain to the audience what Students for Sensible Drug Policy is. Don't let me do it. You're the student. You explain what it is, and so people can understand what's happening.
Well, our focus as an organization is that to keep kids in school, and because we feel that by removing kids from school, especially if they do have a drug abuse problem, the best solution for them getting out of dealing with those problems and making something better out of their life is through education, and which opens up all our opportunities in life, especially when it comes to getting a career and becoming a productive member of society.
Yeah, and now let's focus on the one of the reasons why this actually came about was all of that, as well as the fact that if somebody has student loans and either, or rather is trying to get student loans and has a prior charge of a drug abuse kind of charge or trafficking or whatever, any kind of drug charge, they cannot receive federal student loans and grants. If you're getting those student loans and grants and then get in trouble, you can also lose them. Now, there has been a ruling this week, though. Are you aware of that, Todd, that there's been a ruling that, you know, first it passed the House, now it's, I'm sure, passed the Senate?
They just recently passed it so that now only felonies will count against you, and only while you're actually receiving financial aid.
That's what I thought. I thought there was some kind of a change that had happened. Instead of it being, so only if it's during the time that you're a student and getting the grants and loans and a felony. Well, that's still not fair, because in some states it's all felony, and it is a federal thing. So if somebody is a student in a state that has everything as a felony, a seed or a stem as a felony, then that screws them if they get caught with anything while they're in school. But that is at least alleviates a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely we're definitely still working on it. It's been a step by step process. I mean, first it started with getting rid of the past convictions counting against you. That was the first thing that they got rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is the most recent one, was them making it so only felony convictions count against you. So generally, which means it's a distribution charge unless you're in a zero-tolerance state.
Yeah. Well, the irony that I look at, overview of not only other organizations like it, but this one in particular, it's just an example of how they, the federal government and state governments and everything as well, believe that to get rid of the drugs, they have to just totally throw all these laws on the books. More. And all they've done is create great organizations. In the process, because if it weren't for these kind of laws that affect the students and treat students that happen to either have had or have in the future some kind of a drug charge, it treats them as if they're not worthy of ever getting educated. Oh, you use drugs, we'll never help you. And that's just ridiculous, because if the people really looked at what's going on, most of the people that are charged with these kind of things are really the average kind of person like yourself that is in school, that has a job. And again, all it does is create great organizations. So now, this is all these years later, they've gotten different things done. How many chapters are there? Do you know any idea how many chapters there are on the different campuses around the country, just off the top of your head?
They said we have about 160 recognized chapters with their schools, and we have another between 30 and 40 chapters that are actively trying to get recognized right now. And actually, the University of Miami chapter was just officially recognized by their school yesterday.
Wonderful. And that's Vinny, that's your roomie. He's standing by, too.
Yes, he is.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, just for a minute, since he's there, ask Vinny if he wants to come online with us for a minute and tell us the little bit of experience that he went through getting that official chapter off the ground up in Hamilton.
Oh, I'd love to, Lynn.
Wonderful, Vinny. How are you?
I am great.
So what did you have to do to get this official in? And I know the UC chapter is still having some issues. So what did your chapter have to do up in Hamilton campus of Miami University to get this done and to be a chapter?
The first process in it all is to contact the national organization of SFCP and let them know that you want to start a chapter. And then on the campus level, you have to contact student organizations and go through the whole political process of getting the petition signed and getting a student advisor, which consists of a faculty or staff member, preferably a professor. It's a lot of politicking, a lot of shoving it through the whole system, because they will, without a doubt, try and delay it just to put it off.
Yeah, I find that I've heard about a lot of the different schools trying to do that, and it's just a waste of their time because all it does is create more kids coming out. So how many besides yourself have you got in the chapter now?
Besides myself, I have two other very dedicated people.
Wonderful.
Besides that, we have roughly 17 members so far, and it really isn't up to large numbers of people more so than it is hardworking people that are dedicated to get policies written up to get them passed. Really.
Absolutely. I agree. One person that does a whole bunch of great stuff could do a lot more than 20 that might not want to. But let's hope that everybody that, you know, the whole lot of them want to do good stuff because then it happens even quicker. Well, that's just fantastic. Congratulations. I know I was kind of watching you in the inception of this whole thing, coming to the different events and getting involved. So I'm real proud of all of you, especially you getting that chapter going already up there. That's fantastic, Vinny. And I'm real glad to see you guys up there. And, you know, there's a new Miami Valley Normal chapter out of the Tri-State and Dayton Middletown area that maybe you guys can get some stuff going, get some different things happening up in that area.
I've actually been in contact with two of the people from that chapter.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's very good. Got to get the networking so everybody knows who everybody is and everybody helps both groups and each other and all that good stuff. Well, fantastic. So you're both on the speakerphone, I gather, correct?
Right.
Wonderful. Well, it doesn't matter which one of you take the question. You can both answer it. What were some of the different sessions that you guys have gone to throughout the weekend there in San Francisco? What are some of the key topics that they're teaching you guys?
Well, we started off Friday with a field trip day. We got the choice of going either to Oaksterdam University.
Woohoo!
The marijuana college, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other option was go to Harborside Health Center, which is basically the mecca of if you're a medical patient. Like, they do everything there. From massages to anything you could possibly imagine for actual medicating for the patient. And then on Saturday was our drug war education day, and we had all kinds of great speakers come in. The opening had Ethan Nadelman.
Wonderful.
The head of Drug Policy Alliance. We had Jack Cole from LEAP speak. Tom Amignano, the local California Assembly representative.
The Congressman Tom Amignano, who's pushing the taxing and regulating of cannabis and marijuana through their legislator, was one of your speakers there. That is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic, Todd.
Yeah, I mean, go on and on about all the great speakers we had. Then Sunday, today, was our advocacy skill training day, where almost all of our different breakout sessions were focused around tools that we can use for developing our chapter, setting up great events, and like the do's and don'ts of running an effective chapter.
Right.
So that was really useful for information that we can take home and put to practical use with our chapters back to each of our individual campuses.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, now, I have to say that we were going to have a third person, and that was Anna, who is the president of the UC chapter that you guys are forming, and she's out and about in San Francisco with a dead phone, so she can't be on. But we have to mention her as not only yourself coming in through Hemp Rock, and again, I'm really proud of all of you. I have to say that. Getting active, getting involved, getting into school, and doing this kind of stuff. And although you were the first, we have to give you kudos for being the first here in Cincinnati to pick up the SSDP bandwagon, and I'm real proud of you, Todd, really am. And but the one thing that we want to do is let everybody know that, you know, being a student is sometimes costs a lot of money, even if you get grants and loans. And these conferences, they cost a lot of money. So the great thing about these type of organizations is that they do get funds from other sources, grants, things. I don't even know if it's grants. Of course not. But grants from private sources, let's say that. And so it enables the organization to help pay and do scholarships for folks like you. And you said that you guys were on a scholarship for the room as well. Did that also include the conference fee, I'm wondering?
Depending on what you applied for, each person was, like, allowed to individually apply for a certain amount of scholarship, whether if you needed just, like, for me, I just needed a room. I was able to afford the trip out here, so that's all they covered for me.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, they covered just their flight out here. They covered their room, and so it just varies depending on the needs of the students. Plus, this year, they had a lot of... they allowed students to make videos that they posted online.
Wonderful.
That anybody who wanted to could look at the videos, and if they liked that person's video, they could donate. So you could, the donors could donate to specific chapters or specific people who they felt deserved the money the most.
That's wonderful. Well, that's important for people to know, because a lot of people, they don't realize that these things are available to people or students specifically with this organization to join into something like that nationally. Now, real quick, have you heard anything about a Midwest conference like they did last year at Hash Bash?
I know there will be another one. I'm not sure who, I haven't heard yet who's planning on doing it.
Okay.
We've actually been talking with Kent State because they've got a fantastic chapter up there. Yes. They brought 13 people out here.
Wow, 13 people from Kent State. Well, at Hash Bash conference for SSTP, if you remember, they had, well, you weren't there, but I remember talking to you about it, of course. I think they had 30 people there. Or maybe 20 there and 30 at the time in their chapter. And it's huge. If every other school, at least in this state, did what Kent is doing, great. But you guys are really, you know, coming up right behind him. It's fantastic. Matter of fact, I think somebody else is out there. Who's with Anna? Who came out with her?
Jake Tracy.
It was Jake Tracy. I saw on Jake's Facebook thing about him being in San Francisco, and I sat there and I went, uh-huh, he's the other one. And I wasn't sure what she said the other day when I talked to her. So kudos to Jake Tracy as well. He's a hemp rocker, as well as Anna and you guys. And it's fantastic. So real quick, if there's anything else you think that you think folks should know about what's going on out there, not just the conference, which tour did you choose?
I went to Oaksterdam University.
You did. Now, we've talked about that on the show. That's Richard Lee. He's known as the mayor of Oaksterdam. Aside from Congressman Amiano, Richard Lee has 700,000 signatures that has been turned in, which is twice as many signatures as you need out in California. And provided they do this legitimately, they will be on the ballot for taxing and regulate marijuana in November in California. Richard Lee started that. Richard Lee owns and runs the Bulldog Cafe in Oakland or Oaksterdam, as well as the SR-71 medical dispensary, and probably more since I met him. And he started the Oaksterdam University, and as Todd said, it is to teach people how to grow medical marijuana. So tell us about it. What did you see? What all kinds of stuff did you learn?
Oh, it was fabulous. We actually got to go to the horticulture area where they had multiple plants in different stages of growth. We were allowed to take pictures. They explained to us a lot of what they teach there, because not only do they teach people to grow, but they teach people how to make edibles properly, how to measure them out, because one of the very important things out here for the medical patient is receiving the proper dosage.
The right dosage, that's right.
And especially with edibles, there can be a huge difference.
Yes.
And they do great care. They also do testing. There's a facility out here that actually tests. You can send samples into to test for mold or for any other poisons to make sure growers aren't using pesticides or anything.
Wonderful.
That they're supposed to, which is another great tool for patients, so they don't have to worry about getting anything that is harmful for them. They also told us a little bit about. They gave us a little presentation about their 2010 tax and regulate campaign that you mentioned. They're really excited about that. They should find out within a week or two if the signatures is good, and they're already really close, so it shouldn't be an issue. And they've got a lot of work ahead of them as far as running this campaign, but we all have to hope that it passes, because if we can get one state to get it started, other states will be sure to follow in line after that.
Well, I agree with you. It is going to be a domino effect, and I know that the DEA doesn't want to hear this. I personally don't think that medical was a wedge to get recreational. I still say that there should be both qualities. If somebody wants to, it's like Budweiser and a good microbrew. Let's say the microbrew is the medical beer and the Budweiser is the crap, because I believe it is. So if somebody wants to go buy crap or Milwaukee's Best or Pabst Blue Ribbon, they should be able to. If they want to get medical grade, they should be able to get that as well. Now, I don't want to digress on this, but, you know, Dennis Perrone, who was the author of Prop 215 in California that kicked all this medical off, he doesn't believe in taxing. He says if everything is medical and they don't tax pharmacy drugs, so they shouldn't tax this. And on one level, I do agree with him. And if somebody wants to do it through their doctor, and California and other states keep the medical end also, but somebody else wants to go down to the store and do it a different way and pay their taxes, they should be able to. So I guess it's a choice between paying the taxes or paying your doctor. Either way, we shouldn't be going to jail for it and losing grants and all that kind of stuff. So just this little bit of a reflection of what you see out there while you're in San Francisco area and in California lets people back here at home and around the world that's listening on the Internet, of course, know what's happening there. And it's not going to stop. It's just going to continue. And kudos to California. You know, it's like an entirely different country out there when you go there, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, you see it everywhere, people just walking down the street. It's very commonplace, and I mean, it's actually harder for SSDP to start chapters out here because it's so lightly enforced. They have a lot less instances of, you know, students who are more directly affected by it because they're generally not being prosecuted for it out here.
Right.
It definitely is a driving force for most of us on the East Coast when we come out here and we see the way it is out here.
Yeah.
And it gives us all something to shoot for.
That's right. That's right. Well, listen, Todd, I'm going to let you guys go. I know you got a little bit of stuff there that you want to do before you have to fly out. When are you going to be home tomorrow, or are you flying out tonight?
I fly out tomorrow night, so I'll actually be getting home Tuesday morning.
Wonderful. Well, have definitely a wonderful, safe flight, you and Vinny as well, if he's still standing by, and pass it on to Jake and Anna. And can't wait to talk to you all about it when you get back, and maybe we'll get something else on it when you guys get back, if we've missed anything in the little bit of a conversation we had about it right now. But I want to thank you both, and what little bit you have left out there to do, smoke one for me. Hell, smoke two or three. Because that's the good stuff out there.
Yeah, oh, it is. It's fabulous. And I appreciate you giving me this chance to speak. And just remember, if anybody has any questions about SSDP, you can find us on ssdp.org or schoolsnotprisons.org.
You got it. And you can also see all of them down at the Global Marijuana March, Worldwide Marijuana March, on Hamilton County Courthouse steps, May 2nd. And, of course, Saturday night, too. Don't forget. Put that down, May 1st, Saturday night, for the Hemp Rock Hemp Fest. And we'll see all of you. We're going to get you all up there. We want to get you having a table at both places so everybody in the area knows what's going on. So plan on having your literature while you're out there. Get as much as you can.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks.
Wonderful. All right, Todd. We'll talk to you when you get home.
All right.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queens City, WVQC.org.
Coming soon to
Cincinnati's
95.7 FM.
All right, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress. He's the burn man over there rolling the pot, and the pot's very dope boy. The pot hash is standing by. Real quick, I want to cover a couple of things before we do get to that segment, though. This is for an immediate release from FAM, Families Against Mandatory Minimums. This came out a few days ago. Breaking news, Senate Judiciary
votes to reform federal crack cocaine sentencing policies eliminates first mandatory minimum since Nixon administration. Washington, D.C., this came out just like I said the other day, the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee unanimously passed a bill that would reduce the sentencing disparity between federal crack and powder cocaine offenses. The bipartisan vote to approve an amended version of Senator Richard Durbin's Senate Bill 1789 acknowledged that disparate sentencing policies enacted for federal crack cocaine offenses in 1986 have had a negative impact on the nation's criminal justice system. The amended bill would reduce the ratio between crack and powder cocaine from a 100-to-1 ratio to 20-to-1 and direct the U.S. Sentencing Commission to enhance penalties for aggravating factors like violence or bribery of a law enforcement officer instead. Significantly, the bill also would eliminate the mandatory minimum sentence for simple possession of crack. Now, if you didn't know, if somebody gets busted with cocaine, they do less time than somebody who's busted for the same amount of crack. And that's what they mean by the 100-to-1. It was considered 100-to-1 disparity, meaning if you have a gram of coke but you get caught with crack, it's like 100 grams of crack. Or it would be like if you had 100 grams of cocaine, even if the crack was still a gram. Now they've changed that. The only difference is they didn't make it completely even. Now it's like 20 times. So if you get busted with a gram of crack, it's like 20 grams of cocaine, which is still stupid and still not good, but I guess it's better than 100, and that's how FAM feels. Now, moving back to what we said before we left the break, last week and weeks ahead, or weeks before that, I guess I'm dyslexic today, in timeline, that change.org had started their new, or once again a year later, Ideas for Change in America, and they wanted you to vote for the top 10 ideas for change, and they're going to present that to President Obama. Now, last week we were leading number one. This week, or this actually at the end of the week, this is the beginning of the week I'm telling you this. This was actually, I don't see a date on this sheet, but it was like Thursday or Friday they ended this, and they tallied the vote. And guess what, folks? Legalize the medicinal and recreational use of marijuana topped out at number one. Now, the question is will change.org do the right thing and go along with what they believe is democracy and present this to the president? That's really the question. But the top three, this is the ones I'll tell you. The legalized medicinal recreational use of marijuana had 6,578 votes. The next one down was move to amend constitutional rights for people, not for corporations, abolish corporate personhood. That had 6,418 votes. Now, the third one was also extremely important. It was increase federal good time allowances, and that is House... it's a House Bill 1475, the Federal Prison Work Incentive Act of 2009, to amend the United States Code to restore the federal system of good time allowances towards your federal prison time. Now, that came out on the 3rd with 5,509 votes. Now, you can go to change.org ideas and see what's going on and see what they're talking about. Real quick, some of the sponsors that and partners that they have is Democracy in Action, Service Nation, The Ark, Rock the Vote, Save Darfur, Goodwill, and many other ones. And, you know, folks, it's either that pot smokers dominate the Internet or pot smokers dominate this country, or both. I think it's both. Anyway, I do have some other things that I want to get to very quickly, and the time is, let's see here at Hemp Rock Radio, 10 till. Couple headlines. I hope tomorrow to have Tim back on from Michigan about Walmart, as well as Tanya Davis out of Dayton, Ohio, talking about a few kids that were busted in Dayton. You can go to mmjactionnetwork.com to look for the POWs in Dayton. Also, very quickly, Normal launches an iPhone application, the Reefer Revolution. It continues in cyberspace. We'll talk about that tomorrow because if you're looking for Normal, it's a 99-cent download from iTunes on your phone now. Isn't that cool? That's two marijuana icons and apps through iTunes now. That's Normal, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and the Guide for Medical Cannabis Dispensaries in California, I believe, is the other one. We'll give you a couple more announcements here in just a few minutes, but right now I do want to get on with our next segment before the top of the hour, and we're over. Pot and Hash, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. How are you?
Well, never enough time.
Never.
But I'm good. But I'm good. So I know you have a really cool recipe, juicy, gooey, kind of fun stuff. What do you got for us today?
Well, I brought this one up just for you.
Okay.
Because it's totally organic.
Love it. Love it. Don't like the Monsanto and DuPont pesticides.
Oh, yeah. This is a recipe for something called Majun dip.
Majun.
Yes.
What is Majun? Okay. I guess you got to go look up the Wikipedia of Majun.
Yes, I do.
How do you spell that?
M-A-J-O-O-N.
Majun.
But
okay,
you need 7 grams of marijuana, which is 1/4 ounce, for those of you who don't like to do math.
And try to get the kind without the stems and the seeds so you really have 7 grams of marijuana.
Yes. And you finely grind that. Then you need 8.5 ounces of dates, and you chop them very fine. 4 1/4 ounces of raisins. 4 1/4 ounces of ground walnuts. 1 teaspoon, not tablespoon, it'd kill you. 1 teaspoon of ground nutmeg. 1 teaspoon of anise seed. And 1 teaspoon of ground ginger. You also need 4 1/4 ounces of honey. 4 1/4 ounces of water. And 2 tablespoons of melted canna butter. Or you can use regular butter if you don't want to, you know, if you don't have that kind of investment made.
Yeah.
But you toast the marijuana in a dry skillet on a low heat until it's golden brown. You mix all of your ingredients except the canna butter, and then you saute those ingredients until they're soft enough that you can start mixing them together and mushing them around. And then you remove that from the heat. While the mixture is still hot, you add your butter and you stir it vigorously for 3 to 5 minutes. And you can use it then warm, or you can refrigerate it. Just make sure you put it in an airtight container, and you can even eat this by the spoonful. It's just a nice, sweet, fruity treat.
Hmm. Something that you can put on bread.
Yeah, or crackers.
Then I think folks should seek out hemp flour and hemp oil to make a little bit of bread.
And, well, yeah, that's always a good thing.
You know, and then spread that on the bread.
Yep. You can use it as a spread, or you can just take a spoon and just eat it right out of the refrigerator.
Absolutely. Mmm, sounds good. Sounds very, very good. Well, any ideas what you got coming up next week?
Nope, but I always take requests.
Now, there's an idea. There is an idea.
And you guys can, you know, if you have a request for a recipe you want to send in, just get in touch with www.hemprock.com. And
join
my
email list as a hemp rocker.
And I also have a email box there, so if you ever want to send a request in and ask me, you know, get you a specific recipe if you're having trouble finding it. If I can't find it, I'll make one up for you.
Yeah, that reminds me, we're going to get a hold of Matt in Canada at the server and get these emails together. We'll get one for Burn Man together as well. You know, I'm a stoner. I forgot. So remind me when we get back to the headquarters.
Short-term memory
loss.
That's
right. Well, real quick, read that top story there.
A police officer in Iowa City accused a 77-year-old man they arrested on traffic charges earlier this year of swallowing his hidden marijuana stash while seated in a squad car. Authorities served an arrest warrant on misdemeanor marijuana charges Thursday on Howard Switzer and later released him on his own recognizance. Police said they observed Switzer making an illegal left turn on January 31st and arrested him for driving with a revoked license. They say that while Switzer was in the back of the squad car, he reached into a coat pocket, pulled out a plastic tube containing marijuana, and swallowed most of the contents. They said he also dropped the tube and a glass marijuana pipe on the floor of the car. Authorities said Switzer has 2 previous marijuana convictions.
Yeah, 77 years old. Is that not ridiculous? Guy, 77 years old, has lived 77 years, and they're still treating him like he's 15 and got caught with pot. For God's sake. Okay, this is a good one. Washington state legislator just voted to add physician assistants, osteopathic physician assistants, naturopaths, and advanced registered nurse practitioners, all the medical professionals currently authorized by Washington law to prescribe controlled substances. They've added them to the list for health care providers who may authorize the medical use of cannabis. Previously, only MDs and osteopaths could authorize. That was a bill sponsored by Senator Gene Colwells, Senate Bill 5798. That did pass, and that was the ACLU Washington Foundation that did do that. So kudos to ACLU. Very quickly, we're about ready to kick out our last song. I've got a few things that we'll be talking about tomorrow as well, but real quick, if you want to watch a new video coming out of Flex Your Rights, you can go to do a search for the Cato Institute Live webcast, or go to GOO.GL/BDDE, if you can remember that. You can also watch a 2-minute preview at 10rulesmovie.org. March 27th, the Sensible Missouri is having their Columbia, Missouri, now I just lost my place. A patient conference. There it is. It is a patient conference. That's March 27th, so we'll talk about that tomorrow. Also, don't forget, this is tomorrow. If you're in New York, the Empire State Normal, they're having a rally tomorrow, the day before St. Patrick's Day. That is at 11:45. You'll meet with your normal members, and the rally starts at high noon at the City Hall Park. And there are other things that we'll talk about tomorrow. I hope I didn't miss anything that's extremely important. Oh, yeah, the 6th National. Oh, no, that's April. Yes, tomorrow. Tune in. Not only we'll try to get Steve Sarich, we will try to get Tanya. We will have Tim Beck from Michigan. It is Hemp Rock Radio. I'm the Happy Hemptress. He's the Burn Man, getting ready to hit that button and roll that pot. And Pot and Hash, we'll see you next Monday.
See ya.
See everybody later. WEEDRadioNetwork.com is the archive.
Hi, I'm Dana Beal from Cures Not Wars and the Worldwide Marijuana March, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WDQC.org, coming soon to Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
Hi, this is the Pottsbury Doughboy, Pot and Hash. Come join me and the Reefer Roach as we celebrate cannabis freedom with 300 cities around the world on Saturday, May 1st at 7 p.m. at the Hemp Rock Hemp Fest in Miamitown, Ohio. Then Sunday, May 2nd, 3 to 6 p.m., it's the 2010 Worldwide Marijuana March at the Hamilton County Courthouse on Main Street in Cincinnati. With speakers, Rich Spirits Drum Circle, Reefer Girls Contest, Legal Buds, and a march with me, Pot and Hash, and Reefer Roach to the Justice Center. Details can be found at the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. Or online at HempRock.com. Brought to you by Hemp Rock and Cures Not Wars.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals. One of them was a male, and the other two, well, the other two were females. God only knows what they were up to in there. And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoke marijuana cigarettes. Reefers.
Hemp Rock Radio on WVQC Cincinnati at WVQC.org. A member of Media Bridges, Cincinnati's Community Media Center. Hemp Rock Radio airs every Monday and Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern on WVQC.org.
Son, you do the
Check out Hemp Rock TV programs in Northern Kentucky on Insight Channel 21 and in Cincinnati on Media Bridges Channel 4 Metro 24. Find Hemp Rock on the web at HempRock.com or on the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP.
Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at WEEDRadionetwork.com. Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress and the Burn Man has been a Hemp Rock production. Up next is Cincinnati's Conscience with Jay Allday, where hippie meets the hood.